Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
I do work for an organization called Lighthouse for Life, and we are combating the human trafficking here locally. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more specifically about what Lighthouse does, but first I kind of want to highlight what the problem is. Human trafficking, simply put, is the buying and selling of human beings. And the two main categories that it's broken down to is labor trafficking and sex trafficking, which are pretty self-explanatory. I do want to point out that a lot of times people end up in sex trafficking after starting out in labor trafficking, so there's a lot of carryover. But since 80% of those in human trafficking are more involved in sex trafficking, that is what Lighthouse for Life has chosen to focus on. And that can include a wide range of things. It's basically the exploitation of somebody for sexual purposes, and that can include pornography, it can include strip clubs, it can include any kind of abuse to where somebody is benefiting somebody else and not themselves. We all know that it's worldwide. Everybody hears the facts and the statistics about what's going on in India, what's going on in Cambodia, what's going on in Latin America. We hear about the girls that are being abused in all those other places, and thanks to the trafficking video, or to the taken video, you know, we may even think Europe. And the fact is it is in those places, and it's actually the second largest criminal industry worldwide, and quickly becoming the first. Right now, the drug industry is still number one, but human trafficking is overtaking that. And there's a couple main reasons. One is humans are a reusable commodity. As sick as it is to say that, if you sell drugs, you sell it one time and they're gone. But you can sell a human being again and again and again and again. And so these traffickers are putting more and more money into their pockets, and people are starting to realize that they would rather go that route than even do the drugs. Another reason is, if you think about it, it's very low risk for the people who are selling these human beings. And that's because when you sell drugs, you're right there in the act, and so if authorities come, they catch you. When you sell a human being, you can send them into the field and to do their job, and if authorities come, who are they going to catch? They're going to catch the victim. They're going to catch the human being, but not so much the trafficker. So it's also a very low risk, which is another reason why that industry is growing. But it is in the United States. This map shows from the Polaris Project, which is a national hotline that reaches out to human trafficking. Cases identified in 2012 that were recalled in. So this map is a little bit dated, and it's much more extensive than that. But all 50 states in the U.S. have reported cases of human trafficking. Some of the numbers, the main one on there that I focus on is the 100,000 minors that are pulled into human trafficking every year. They say that upwards of 300,000 are at risk, but every year somebody under the age of 17 is pulled into this life. It's a $9.5 billion industry in the United States. And I don't have a good thing to compare that to, but I know that's a ridiculously a lot of money. And it is so sad to me that that is where we are putting our money, is into the abuse of other human beings. But bringing that a little bit closer to home, to Columbia, or to South Carolina, this map shows some of the hot spots right here in South Carolina. And as you can see, Columbia is right there in the middle of where cases are being reported right around here. There's the news articles that are on there are recent cases where traffickers have been caught here in Columbia. The one on the top was dated back in October, and the one that's underneath it was reported of 6 traffickers that were caught back in January. I don't remember how many victims were rescued in that case. I know that's one that they were working on for a while, but even more recent than that, back at the end of January 27th, I think, beginning of February, there was a case where a 15-year-old girl tried to commit suicide. And when she was in the hospital, and she's a mom, when she was in the hospital, they were talking to her, and they discovered that she was being trafficked. And they went out, and they got the two people who were trafficking her was a man and a woman that lives in a house, believe it or not, right down the street from CIU in Lincolnshire. And they discovered when they went to that home that there was a 13-year-old girl that was there as well. And this was just about a month ago, right here. There's another site that kills me every time I go onto it, but that I printed from just today, Thursday, March 3rd. This is a list of girls that are being advertised right here in Columbia. And while a number of them may not be trafficking cases, a lot of them are. And if I was going to, now this was actually as of 9:30 this morning, so I'm sure there's even a lot more on there than right now. And if I was going to read some of these street names to you, St. Andrews, Two Notch, Fort Jackson, St. Andrews, near Interstate Number 1, Bush River Road, Greystone, near I-20, Sumter, Broad Street, Lexington, and this one kills me, Columbia, Upscale. There's nowhere that they're not going, and it is so prevalent right here around us that we decided we needed to do something about this. The victims, who are the victims of trafficking? The average age of entry is 12 to 14 years old, and that age is actually getting younger and younger because these traffickers are looking for girls that, or for victims, because it can be guys and girls, who are less likely to have sexually transmitted diseases or anything else that could be, quote, wrong with them that they can advertise. Child pornography is becoming huge. Toddler pornography is also becoming really big. So it honestly can go as young as one and as old as whoever. It affects everybody. 1 in 6 runaways is another statistic that just kills me. Usually they say it gets caught and pulled into human trafficking at some point or another. The four main contributing factors that you'll see on that screen, poverty, homelessness, foster care, previous sexual abuse, those are the prime cases that they'll look out for because they're vulnerable. A person who is a runaway is looking for a home to stay. So what are they going to do? They're going to invite them and give them a home to stay. And then after they've stayed there for a while, they'll say, okay, now you owe me rent because I've been doing this for you. And the way you're going to pay up is through doing these services for me. And they kind of bind them in that way. So those are the four main areas, but I added at the bottom of the screen down there just a desperate need for love and attention because I feel like that kind of broadens it out from just those four that you may say, well, I don't fit any of those, so it's never going to affect me. And say, yeah, it really can't affect anybody because I bet everybody in here can raise their hand and say that at one point or another they've been desperate to be noticed, desperate to be cared about, desperate to be loved, recognized. And those are the types of people that will get caught and pulled into this. The main thing, too, is that this does affect everybody. I was speaking at a high school here not too long ago, and we compared it to slavery because this is considered the modern-day slavery. And there are more people caught into it now than at any point or time in the history of the world. And I said, but you know, the thing about this slavery is that it's not gender-based, it's not race-based, it's not social economic status-based. This slavery doesn't care who you are. It affects anybody and everybody. But it is so secret and it's so hidden that we don't even know that it exists and that it's that prevalent. And so one of the things we want to do is bring that to the surface and expose it for what it is so that we can start doing something about it. There are three main ways that traffickers will get their victims. They use force, fraud, or coercion. I will say that there is another term that a lot of people think of when they think of traffickers, and that's pimp. We have tried to shy away from pimp because it's becoming a glorified term. You hear like pimp my ride or pimp this, or people talk about, well, yeah, I want to be a pimp or that kind of stuff, and so we hate that. So trafficker is the main frame or main words that we use, and that can be anybody. That can be women. There's more and more women that are getting called into this. Sometimes they can be at the top of the chain. Sometimes they can be a step underneath somebody, and they're called bottom girls. And they will go recruit on behalf of another trafficker. They can be somebody who you would kind of look at and stereotype and say, yeah, I could see them doing that. It also could be a businessman or a businesswoman or somebody who you would never suspect based upon their image that that's what they do. So you can see them anywhere, but the main ways they use force, fraud, and coercion, force would be like taken when they're just kidnapped. And coercion is when they're manipulated. That might be when they blackmail or use some different things like that. The main way that we are seeing trafficking in Columbia, South Carolina, is through fraud. And you'll hear a term, if you talk to the Attorney General's office or if you talk to people from the Sheriff's Department, you'll hear the term Romeo pimps or Romeo traffickers. That's what goes around on the streets. And to me, that is the most dangerous kind of trafficking, and that's what we're seeing, because how they work is they will be that hero. They'll be that knight in shining armor. They'll be the person that has the answer to all of your dreams. And they'll come up to somebody, and they said, I've been told that within 4 minutes of walking into a mall or a public place, they can spot who their next victim is going to be, and in a series of questions can know by the end of their questions whether or not they have that person in their control. But they'll be the hero that that person needs them to be. They'll love on them. They'll take sometimes months of grooming them into a life of trafficking until the victim is so confused and so manipulated and so bought into the lies of this person that there's a bond or there's a connection that then they can't get out of. And before they know it, they're in a life that they never, ever, ever dreamed or expected that they'd be in. And sometimes that control can go on for a very long time. And it could be to where the victim does not even really realize what's going on or the extent of it. Sometimes the victims actually kind of know more what's going on, but they are so convinced that this trafficker loves them. The trafficker may say something like, yes, you need to do this for us, for our future together. So you can do all of these things with this person, but save this one act for you and I, because you're my one and only. You're my special girl. You're my special person. And they'll have control over them that way. And they get them to where they believe that. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. Outcomes, almost every person that they have found here in Columbia, South Carolina, comes away with STDs. They have PTSD is really huge. They've got trauma, physical, educational neglect, so a long list of needs that they walk away from this life with. I highlighted in red the word death, because that's what really grips at my heart too, is I have been told the average life expectancy of somebody who enters into a life like this is 7 years. I don't know for 100% certainty that rate is true, but I will tell you that it is the highest death rate among any, quote, profession out there. And that could be because of abuse, it could be because of the drug addictions, it could be because of starvation, it could be suicide, it could be any of those types of things, but the death rate is high. We've got to help these people see that this is not the life that they can have, that there's so much more out there for them. I think I skipped over it on one of the slides where there's that quote that says, no girl ever says when I grow up, I want to be a prostitute. Nobody does that. Anybody who ends up in a life like that, and I'm not saying all prostitutes are being trafficked, but a lot of them are. But even the ones who aren't, they got there because of trauma and abuse and their dreams being shattered before them. And so they entered into this as a means, their only means for hopes or for survival, for some kind of purpose in life, or for being trafficked. So what happens to them? The government is responding. The federal government, the state government is responding. And actually, Bob Healy here, who's with me, knows a whole lot more about what's going on in legislation, and I can highlight some things later, and you're welcome to talk to us. We're going to stick around for lunch afterwards. But the main problem that Lighthouse for Life focused on as we were doing all this research and looking into this is, what happens to these girls after they are rescued? Where do they go? Their needs are so extensive, whether it's safety from their traffickers, whether it's the emotional, physical, psychological healing that they need to go through, whether it's a huge decline in education or the medical that they have. So you can't just send them back home. What if it's their family members or friends of family members that's trafficking them? You can't just put them in a regular shelter. Their needs are way too extensive, and what happens is they end up running away because they don't know how to connect or fit or get that support. And they'll end up right back into the life just because it's the only thing they know. They may not like it, but they know what to expect. Their trust has been so broken that if you're not there to meet them at a level that understands where they're coming from, then they may go back just because that's where they know what to do. They know what to expect. This is, again, from 2012. I haven't found a more recent one, but back then, there in the Northeast United States, there were only 33 beds available to these victims that were minors. 33. Now that, if you take the number 100,000 in the United States, and let's just divide that by 50, you've got 2,000. So I know that's not a cookie cutter formula, but 2,000 for per state, and only 33 beds in the entire North or Southeast to meet them, that was a huge, huge concern to us, and zero in South Carolina. So what Lighthouse for Life has said is we want to open the first safe home in South Carolina for these victims, a place where they can come, they can live. It's a program based, so they don't live there permanently, but they get intensive therapy and education and all sorts of needs met in an environment where people are trained to know how to work with them and love them and take care of them so that they can be more successful. The name of our, mission to restore victims to wholeness. The name of our house is Caris Home. I love that because the word Caris is grace. And I feel like none of us would be here if it wasn't for grace that gives us a second chance in life. And that's what we want to extend to these girls, is grace. Our home is for girls. It's for ages 12 to 17. We have a lot of details to work out for it. We are not open yet. We have a house. It is undergoing renovations. We would love to be open by the end of 2016. We need more regular financial support in order to do so. We just recently, as of Valentine's Day, got the rest of our renovation budget covered, or needs covered. And God is really growing and multiplying Lighthouse for Life. So we know that it's going to come. The last thing we want to do, though, is to rush into opening a home only for it to be one more failure in these girls' lives if we have not covered all of our bases. So we haven't set a date because we'd like to make sure that we have thought it through very, very comprehensively before we do open, whether that's who we hire, what the program model is going to look like, the training for the staff, all those logistics. But that is our desire and our dream. So when I click on this slide and it says, how can you help? And before I give you some different possibilities specifically for human trafficking and for Lighthouse for Life, I would like to just take a few minutes to share my story, at least part of it. Don't worry, not the whole thing. I graduated from CIU in 2004 from the elementary education major, and I don't know if any of my professors are in here or not, but what they might not know is I didn't want to be a teacher. That really wasn't something that sounded very appealing to me. But I did it because I really felt like that's what God is calling me to do, and that that's where my gifting was. And it turns out that He always has a plan, and for the next 10 years after I graduated, I ended up not in a regular classroom, but in a classroom for students with emotional disabilities, or working with students with emotional disabilities. And these kids are my heroes. These are kids that come from such broken, tormented lives at such a young age that I don't know how they're still alive, how they still survive, but they do. These are kids, when they weren't in my classroom, they were either in the psych hospital or they were in group homes someplace, so they're on home-based instruction, or on their way to prison, to DJJ. And I loved working with them. It was such where God had me at that time. And I did that for 10 years. And my heart became so attached to these kids that I wanted to do more. I wanted to finally came to the place where I wanted to open a center or someplace that they could come and I could share with them about Christ. And I could help them on all sorts of levels that I was restricted to in the public school system. So I started talking to people and praying about it and meeting with my church and really very proactively pursuing this for quite a while. Well, After 10 years, I felt like God was telling me to resign from the public school system, that he had something else for me. And I kind of got excited because I felt like what he had for me was going to be to open this center. But little did I know, what he had for me was to become a part of Lighthouse for Life. And in the back of my mind when I started this, it was kind of like, okay, I'll join Lighthouse for Life. It's a great mission. They're looking for someone to head the education of these girls. I can kind of partner with them for a while. And then I'll leave and go do what I really want to do, which is open a center for these kids. So my heart was kind of halfway in Lighthouse for Life. Well, as I've learned these statistics, these facts and just these details that just really tore at my heart, God began to do something to me. And I remember I was at Bob Healy's house one time with a friend of his, and we were talking about some of the taxes and paperwork and stuff for our ministry. And then we had a prayer time together, and I was just so overcome with how dark and evil and rotten this world is. And I was like, where's the hope? What is the point at all? And almost instantly, it was like God said to me, Lisa, you're not of this world. You don't belong in this world. You belong in a world where God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and light reigns. That's the world that you're a part of. And I love that, but then my heart cry was, okay, God, but how do I get that world into their world? These girls are crying out for you. I've heard stories of where they're being abused, and while they're being abused, they're saying, God, where are you? And I kind of echo that, God, where were you? Well, then a little while after that, I was asked to go speak for some Girl Scouts, and I was praying about what to share with them. And there's a movie out called Chosen, which is about a teenage girl who kind of tells her story about how she wasn't kidnapped, but she was kind of, like I said, with the Romeo pimps, chosen, picked out, sought after, and then played to where she got caught in the life. And I was thinking about that film with these young girls at this Girl Scout, and I was like, oh, you know, that's not really true, though. I mean, we all are chosen. And I had the mental image of this mirror that I ended up taking with me. And this mirror says, you are chosen, but you're chosen by God for freedom. And that was what I really wanted to nail home to these young girls, was that, hey, when you look in the mirror, you need to see who God sees. You need to see your identity in him. You need to see your hope, your life, as he sees it and as he wants you to be. And when you see that, you're not going to be desperate for that affection and that attention elsewhere. He has chosen you to be a princess in his story. But when I was writing these words on with the help of a friend, it was like God kind of slapped me in the face and said, you know, who's the first person looking in that mirror? And I said, okay, God, you're right, it's me. I'm the first person who's been looking in this mirror. And it's like God said, Lisa, you asked me a while ago how I am going to reach into these victims' lives. That's why I chose you. That's why I brought you into this whole ministry, is because you are my hands. You are my feet. In Acts, when he commissions the church to go into all the world, he is basically saying, you guys are being me. I am choosing you to go into the world. And I'm bringing this here and I'm leaving this up here because that was really the main reason why I wanted to come and speak to you guys today. None of y'all are honestly going to probably become victims of human trafficking. You could. I'm not going to say you're not. But you guys are the church. You guys are the ones that he has chosen for a purpose. You're the ones who, when I look back, there is a reason why I came to CIU. I was chosen for this. There's a reason why I taught 10 years with students with emotional disabilities. There's a reason why God brought me to Lighthouse for Life. It's because he's had his hand in it all along. And he says, you're my church. Sometimes I think, God, why do I know you? Why do I get to be so blessed to know you as my Lord and Savior? And it's again, Lisa, I chose you. But with that, it comes the command then to go and make him known. The Acts passage doesn't say when you're comfortable. It doesn't say when you're ready. It says go. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the next step is to go and to be him, to the world. It's not every third person, it's not every female or every male, or once you reach the age of 21, it's go. When I was at CIU and Dr. Murray was the president here, he took that motto to know him and to make him known. And I remember every chapel, or when he'd speak, he put a little kind of song to it. And I'm a horrible singer, but he always did the hand thing, which kind of helped a little bit too. And it was, you know, to know him and to make him known. It doesn't help when you're nervous. But the whole thing of God made us to know him and to make him known. That's the whole point. That's why you're made. That's who you are. And so when I challenge you with how God is going to speak to you, I think he will. And it may be to become a part of reaching out to the human trafficking community right here in Columbia. It may be to help get these girls today who right now as we sit here are doing who knows what way around Columbia off the streets to give them hope. It may be to partner with Lighthouse for Life. It may be a different ministry altogether, but it is a command and it is a calling, and it's my challenge to each of you guys here. Specifically for human trafficking, what can you do? You can recognize the signs. You can look out for people who you just don't feel comfortable with what you see. I can read all of these signs to you, or you can meet with us afterwards. We have handouts or cards we can give you, or I'll explain to you some other ways that you can find out. But there is a national hotline number, which I do encourage you to memorize, and it's 1-888-3737-888. They do it that way intentionally so that you can memorize it. And what if every person put that number in their cell phones and made those calls? This hotline number is a national hotline number, and 6 people from Columbia called that between July and September last year. Over 30 cases were identified by calling in this hot number last year in South Carolina. And those lives were able to be rescued and saved. And it's growing all the time. Now, I can tell you there's over 1,000 calls that were made, and not all of them turned out to be cases that needed to be helped. But they don't care. They're not going to just laugh at you if you call. There is a gal I know that sat in a restaurant. They called us back in October, and they said, we were in a restaurant, and there was a girl in the bathroom who was crying, and she said, my boyfriend is keeping me against my will, and they didn't know what to do, and long story short, the boyfriend ended up leaving with her, and they don't know what happened to her, and I said, if that ever happens again, call 911 and call the hotline number. What they do then is they call local agencies to where that person is, and they will send those agencies to investigate or to follow up with whatever the case may be. I also have, just today, I got a number from Sheriff Lott's office that he has said people could call local too. So if you want that number, you can see me afterwards. It wasn't in the presentation. But call the number. It's making a big difference. Get involved with the legislative side of things. We are hoping to get a bill passed that's in the Senate right now that is going to put more consequences on the demand side of this industry. The buyers right now who are paying the $9.5 million in the United States are getting the same penalty as the victims, as the girls, and that's just wrong on so many levels. So what we are trying to get past is to say that these guys who are spending the money that are supplying the demand, if you weren't supplying the demand and there was no money in it, then the traffickers wouldn't have a reason to sell these girls because there would be no profit. So if we can put more consequences on the guys or on the buyers, because it can be girls too, then hopefully that'll also help to curb the whole industry. So if you stay in touch with Lighthouse for Life, we're going to have information on our Facebook page, on our website, on our newsletter feed when the time comes. We need people to follow up, to call their senators, to call the representatives, and to say, support this. We need this to pass. And then once it does, we have to follow up with our local agencies and say, don't stop there. Are you actually going after the buyers? Are you actually following these laws that are in place? So staying in contact with the law side of things. To support Lighthouse for Life specifically, you can request a speaker. We'd love to come share at your church or at any other body that you know of. I kind of gave a little bit of a short and condensed version today. It may not feel like it, but it's true, I did. But my thing too is, how can people know to fight it and to stop it if they don't know it exists? So we want everybody in Columbia, South Carolina to know that it exists and to have the tools to know what to do if they see signs of it, to have our youth know what to do to protect themselves, to make wise choices.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.